We're really pleased this morning, and I've just met Mike just a moment ago. We're really pleased to have Mike Bonner come to us, and he'll be the speaker of this time period. Mike is married to the former Evelyn Reddick. He has five children, Nathaniel, Brianna, Maya, Michaelia, and Michael. He's been proclaiming the gospel since 1997. He's a 2006 graduate of the Southwest School of Biblical Studies in Austin, Texas. Prior to attending Southwest School of Preaching, he served the Delcrest Church of Christ as an associate minister for 4 years. 2005, he served as co-minister in the Fort Sam Houston Church of Christ in San Antonio, Texas for 3 years. He's now serving the 9th and Main Street Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. He's been involved in preaching engagements, gospel meetings, lectureships in Alabama and Arkansas, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, New Mexico, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Texas. I think you're working your way through the whole number of states, aren't you? He's also preached in New Amsterdam, South America. He's involved with Internet Radio and TGRN, Walking with Jesus, from 2015 to 2017. He's a writer and author, board member for the YMCA. And we're certain pleased, Mike, that you're here with us, and come preach the word.
Preach the word.
I am very thankful to be here. And truth be told, I probably wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now. Love children, have five children of my own, and love them dearly. And one thing I have noticed here lately, that even when your children grow up and they leave the house, you never stop being a father. You never stop giving that instruction, that wisdom that is needed. So I want you as children to always keep that in mind, that you're always going to be the children of your parents. So always show that respect, that honor to them, as God would have you to do. We're going to be looking at Judges 13 through 16, and we're going to be making some comments as we look at this great text talking about Samson's strength, not Samson's spirituality. And before we go into that, just a couple things I want to say that should encourage us. You know, when you came into this world, knowing absolutely nothing. In the womb, the Bible teaches us, in Romans 9, verse number 11, you don't know good nor evil, just don't know anything. Even outside of the womb, up to being a toddler, Deuteronomy 1, verse 39, don't know good nor evil. You're being instructed, you're learning, you're growing. You're being that person that your parents are developing, that hopefully you'll be that man or woman of God that you really need to be. It takes time to develop that. It takes time to be nurtured. It takes time to be developed. But also the Bible teaches us that you are to be taught to refuse the evil and choose the good. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 16. That's interesting that we think about those things as it relates to Samson. And the reason why I wanted to come from that particular angle is because when Samson started out, he started out with a mother and a father, and especially a father that truly wanted to do that which was right. If you turn to your Bibles in the first seven verses of chapter 13 in the book of Judges, you'll see that, well, we have a barren woman that is approached by an angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord tells her some things that are just powerful. I want to skip some of those things and really kind of go back down to verse number 8. And you'll see that Manoah, truly a man of God, wanted to know, how am I to rear this son that the angel of the Lord told my wife that we're going to have? Keep in mind, she was barren. She couldn't have children. And now they're about to have this child. And he really want to do what is right by this child. He want to do what's right by God. You know, I do want to say this, that children do come with a handbook. It's called the Word of God.
That's right.
And young people, let no one tell you anything differently. Y'all come with a handbook. It's called the Word of God. And that's why we have to pray for wisdom. We have to pray for knowledge and understanding. So when we stop and we consider this, it was going to be Samson who was going to be a Nazarite. Now, put in your notes, if you're taking notes, put in your notes Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through 21, and you'll see the qualifications of a Nazarite. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, y'all come on in, come on in. I ain't doing nothing but talking about the Word of God, having fun doing it. But when we think about a Nazarite is one is separated from those things that God said to be separated from. In the case of the book of Numbers, that he was not to drink anything that came from the vine, touch nothing unclean. He was not to cut his hair. And during this particular time, a vow was taken by that individual. And once that vow was over, then it was done. However, this was going to be totally different. Samuel was going to be a Nazarite from the womb to the tomb. He was going to be a Nazarite from the day in which he was born to the day that he died. He was going to be separated for God. It's interesting that Jesus is going to be Nazarene from Nazareth. You know what Nazareth means? It's a separated place. Jesus is going to be a separated one from a separated place. It is all right to be separated from those things that defile, those things that are not holy, because we are holy for the Lord. In Romans 12, the first two verses, we've heard those passages. I know you've read them and probably put them in the memory of not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a separated people. Here, Samson was going to be a separated man of God for a particular purpose. He was going to be delivering the children of God from the Philistines. He was going to be judging the Philistines. He was going to be the one that was going to be doing the will of the Lord. Young people, it is all right to do the will of the Lord.
Amen.
It is all right to make up your mind from an early age to do the will of the Lord. It kind of reminds me of Solomon when he was talking to his son Rehoboam in Proverbs 1 in verse number 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. But it's interesting that in Proverbs 28, verse number 14, blessed is the man that feareth always, that he is always fearing the Lord. Young people, when you start fearing the Lord, continue doing it. Don't give up on it. Encourage one another to do so. Well, you look at Judges chapter 13 and look at verse number 8 and notice what the Bible here says. And we've touched on it before. We'll look at this again. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "O my Lord, please let the man of God whom he has sent come unto us again. Teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." Drop down to verse number 12. "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" Drop down to verse number 24 and 25. And notice what your Bible says. "So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson." You know, his name literally means sunlight. Samson means sunlight. You know, when y'all walk into a room, you ought to light the room up. Why? You ought to be representing the Lord. You ought to have the mind of Christ. You ought to be walking in the light. "And the child grew, and the Lord blessed them." And notice this phraseology in verse number 25. "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him." Now, I want to make this point before we deal with that point. Young people, if you are the children of godly parents, you ought to be very thankful. Amen. And the very fact that you are here, you ought to be very thankful. If your parents are trying to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you ought to be thanking God every single day. If your parents are loving you with the love of the Lord, teaching you the Word of God, striving to be a good example in front of you, we know that we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to always make the right decisions as parents, but we're always having your best interests at heart. You ought to be thankful. And this is what Manoah was trying to do. He wanted to make sure that he put his son Samson in the right position, that God could position him to be successful. And young people, success doesn't mean that you have a lot of letters behind your name, even though there's nothing wrong with that. Doesn't mean you have a lot of numbers in the bank, even though there's nothing wrong with that. But success is being holy with God. Amen. Success is hearing these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful of a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." That's true success. That's true success. So here, we see that the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. Now, put these in your notes if you're taking notes. Judges 14, verse 6. Judges 14, verse 19. Judges 15, verse 14. And then Judges 16, verse 28. 14, verse 6. 14, 19. 15, 14, 16, 28. Now, we're going to look at those here in a few minutes. But in all of those passages that I gave you, here we see that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Samson mightily, which means that he gained great strength. It's interesting that when the Spirit of the Lord was upon Samson, he did wonderful things, mighty things. He did the will of God. But it seems as if when Samson was left to his own thinking, he didn't. Young people, there's nothing different today. The Bible teaches us that we can do all things through Christ who empowers us, Philippians 4:13. The Bible teaches us that we ought to have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. We ought to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10. The Bible teaches us those things. You know, you can really be strong. But you can only be strong when you have the strength of the Lord. Keep in mind that this is miraculous that was coming upon him. It had to have been miraculous because here we have this young lion that comes upon Samson in verse numbers 5 and 6. And the Spirit of the Lord come upon him mightily and he tears this lion apart. When the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, God was moving upon him. God was establishing faith in him, really, if you stop and consider this. Now, if you're going to defeat a lion, you got to have another lion to defeat a lion. The Bible teaches us that Satan is as a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. However, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5. If you want to beat a lion, you got to have another lion to do it. You know we ought to stay with the lion of the tribe of Judah. We ought to stay with the one that can defeat the one who is trying to take all of us down. Young people, when we see Samson, when we see Samson at his greatest, is when the Spirit of the Lord was upon him mightily. Usually, that's the same case with us even today. When you see people at their greatest, is when they are allowing the Spirit of God's Word to enter into their life, into their hearts, into their minds, their understanding, and they apply it to their lives. That's when we're at our greatest. And no wonder, just like we've been studying the book of Judges, we have to have this attitude that when I do anything that is worthwhile, that is holy, that is right, that is just, I'll turn around and I'll give God the glory. I give him glory. Because it is in him that we may live and move and have our very being. Now, let's notice something real quick. We see something about this great man of God. I want to make a point as it relates to the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him mightily. That if we're going to be mighty in God, that we got to have God's word in our hearts. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Romans 8 verse 2. Walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to have God's word in my heart? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to do the will of God? What does that mean? Turn your Bibles to Titus 2. I want us to notice verse 11 and 12. I just want to make this little subtle point that I believe that will help us even when you consider Samson, a great man of God, no doubt. And this is why when we consider Samson and we think about the life that he was living and keep it in mind that God was working through him. And also keep in mind that he is in the hall of faith. There's that Hebrews 11:32, which tells us that he was doing God's will, even though he made some mistakes. In Titus chapter 2, and verse number 11 and 12, notice what your Bible there says, and I believe that it will help us to understand some things. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. Here is the word right here. Teaching us. Young people, you cannot have instruction. You cannot have law. You cannot have grace without instruction. They come hand in hand. They come hand in hand. And friends, notice, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, having something to look forward to, the blessed hope. Now, young people, go back to the book of Judges. I want us to notice something. Because it is through God's instruction that Samson was going to do some mighty things, and it's going to be through God's instruction that we're going to do mighty things as well. You cannot do mighty things for the Lord unless you receive instruction from the Word of God. Right. Samson himself received the instruction. He knew why he was here. But we got a problem. The problem is in verse number 1 and 2. Samson sees this woman from Timnah. Now, young men, y'all come close to me. Y'all come close to me. You gotta watch your eyes. When I was a kid, we used to sing this song. Watch your eyes, your little eyes, what they see. Watch your ears, what you hear. Watch your eyes. Make a covenant with your eyes, as Job would say. Here he sees this woman, and notice what he tells his father. Get her. I want her to be my wife. Never said a word to her. Now think about that. I just see her, and I want her to be my wife already. Really? Samson, what are you thinking about? And his mother and his father pleads with him. Why do you want a woman from the Philistines? They didn't realize that God was seeking an occasion to judge the Philistines. So we got to think about that. There are some things when you consider the book of Judges, some things you can apply, some things you can't. This is one of those things that you really can't apply holistically. However, there are some great principles that we still pull out. And we pull out that you really want to get to know someone before you make a commitment, lifelong commitment to them. You wouldn't want to do that. Trust me. It's not good to see a person and then the next day go elope. This is not Hollywood. So keep that in mind. But this is what took place. He saw this woman. You go down to verse number 7 and notice what happens. Then he went down and talked with the woman. She pleased him. And after some time, he returned and he got her, made her his wife. It was that quick. This little short time period went on. And now, you know, here she is his wife. Young people, let me give you a word of advice. If you want to get married to someone, marry someone that loves the Lord. Right. You love the Lord. You do God's will. And I guarantee you, your life will be what God will have it to be, even in the midst of the problems. Now, notice what takes place. Don't have time to look at all of this. But when you consider verses 10 through verse number 15 here, remember when Samson and he ripped this lion apart, and the next thing you know, the lion's laying there dead. He comes back and it's honey inside of it. He gets some of that honey and he eats on that honey and he gives the honey to his mother and father. They don't know where he got it from, but he comes up with this riddle. He makes this big feast because he just took on this wife, and the next thing you know, he throws this riddle out to the men of the city. And you know what they told her? They couldn't find out what the riddle was. They just couldn't figure it out. The next thing you know, they said, entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is. If not, we're going to burn you and your father's house. You know what it also teaches us is that, well, Samson got a woman, a wife, that he couldn't really trust. Couldn't trust her. She enticed him. He fell to that enticement. And the next thing you know, he tells her the riddle. And Samson is so upset. And friends, young people, keep in mind, be careful when you get upset. Be careful when you find yourself getting upset, because here we find Samson and he's upset. And notice what takes place. In verse number 18, we see some things that's taking place. Notice what your Bible says. Verse number 18, are you there? So the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. She told them the riddle. In verse number 19, he is totally upset. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and now he goes and he kills the 30 men so he can honor his word. The next thing you know, we find his anger being aroused in verse number 19. And in verse number 20, his wife is given away, because keep in mind that she's a Philistine. They didn't have the same, they didn't go by the same rules as the people of God did. And the father said, you know, I knew that you was upset with her and that you hated her, so I gave your wife to the best man. He was upset about that. One decision led to another decision that led to another decision that led to another decision. And the next thing you know, Samson says, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened. Samson visited his wife. He wanted to go in unto his wife. You look down at verse number 2. Like we said, I really thought that you hated her. I gave her to your companion. Verse number 3. This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines. Verse number 4. Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes. And he tied all their tails together. He put a torch in the middle of them. And he let them go through the harvest field. Burn their harvest field, burn their corn. And you'll see the word stock there, meaning that they had harvest some wheat, harvest some corn. It's already stacked there, ready for them to use for later on. And everything that they have been burnt up. You know what? Samson was so upset. How dare you give my wife away? That's really what his mindset is. So what Samson did, I'm going to take vengeance on them. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible tells us in Romans 12, verse 19, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You know, the Bible teaches us to pray for our enemies. You know what we learn in the world? We learn in the world that, well, if you hit me, I'll shoot you. If you talk crazy about me, talk bad about me, if you cuss me out, then I'll do something bad towards you. But that's not the will of God. The Bible teaches us that we ought to always be a people of a calm spirit. That requires discipline, that requires character, that requires the word of God, that requires me looking within myself, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examining myself, whether I be in the faith. Young people, there is great work when it comes to spirituality. And here we understand Samson, he exhibited this great strength, but his spirituality wasn't where it needed to be. And God used these things. God used these things in order to judge the Philistines. Now, notice what still happened, even though his wife enticed him to give her the riddle. Look at verse number 6 and 7. Well, verse number 6. Then the Philistines said, "Who done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companions." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Hold on. They threaten her. You need to go tell your husband to tell you the riddle, and then you need to let us know so we don't have to make good on the deal that we made with him. And they still ended up being burned up. Young people, let me go ahead and give you a word of encouragement. Do what's right regardless of who threatens you to do what's wrong. Do what's right. I promise you, if you do what's right, God will get the glory. Your life will be what God would have it to be, even in the midst of the struggles that you go through for doing what is right. This individual, this woman, she still ended up going in the fire, all because Samson took vengeance. Now, I want us to take notice of the third thing. Look at verse number 14. In verse number 14 of chapter 15, here, after the 3,000 men came to him, he's in the cleft of a rock in Etam. And now they come to him and they say, "Here, you brought all of this trouble upon us. The Philistines are here. And now we got all these troubles." And then Samson says, "Hey, I'll go with you if you promise me that you won't kill me." They say, "Yes, okay. We won't kill you." They go and they tie him up. And the next thing you know, the Spirit of the Lord, verse number 14, comes upon him mightily. And the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire. And his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone. And notice, with this jawbone of a donkey, he kills 1,000 men. Every time the Spirit of the Lord was upon this man, he did mighty works. Young people, please do not let people tell you that you can't do mighty things for the Lord. that some would look at this and say Samson was dead wrong for this. No, Samson was doing what God wanted him to do. He was judging the Philistines. The Philistines were a horrible people. They were idolaters. They worshiped Dagon. They even gave honor and glory to Dagon. We'll see that here in a little bit. He was judging them. The young people, every time that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he did mighty things. So after this great battle in verse number 18, he becomes very thirsty. You know, when working for the Lord, you ought to get thirsty. Let me encourage y'all. Make up your mind now that you want to do great work for the Lord. You want to bring people to Christ. You want to talk to people about righteousness and holiness and making good moral decisions. You want to talk to people. You want to be those type of people. You want to consider the strength that Samson had. Let me make this little quick point. It's interesting that Samuel grew. And in Luke 1 and verse 80, Christ grew. I want to encourage all of y'all to be patient with yourself as you develop and grow. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18, grow in the grace. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Growth requires development. All right, y'all put your seatbelts on. You might not like it. You're going to feel some turbulence. A lot of times, young people want to be grown too fast. And you're not ready for that yet. It's not that your physical body is not developed, but your mind is not developed yet. I'm 45 years old and I'm still developing. Come on now, y'all. It takes time to develop. It takes time to mature. Therefore, listen to your parents. Listen to instruction. Proverbs 1 and verse number 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent them not. Develop. It requires time. But we want to grow up now. And young people, it takes time to grow and develop. And growth and development doesn't mean that you are growing in stature. Growth and development means that you are growing in spiritual maturity. You're putting wisdom together. You're putting knowledge together, understanding together. That's growing in grace. That's growing in instruction. That's growing in might. So here we see in chapter 16, as we begin to come to some type of closure, as I was studying this and been studying this for some years, but more specifically for this particular lesson, chapter 16 as a man, it discourages me because it seems as if this man of God, Samson, finally realizes that, you know, I love someone. Well, in the first couple of verses, Samson didn't do some things that was right. He went into a harlot. Young people, I know y'all are exposed to many things. And really, a few years ago, I probably wouldn't say some of the things I would say here today. But y'all are exposed to so many things on the internet. Y'all are exposed to so many things when you go to school. You're exposed to so many things just looking at billboards. There's nothing hidden from y'all. Here this man goes in into a harlot. He's there all night long. That's unfortunate. I believe that's something that Brother Neil wanted me to bring out, because when we was talking about this, Samson's strength, but not Samson's spirituality, it was nothing spiritual about going into the harlot. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 13, do we understand that it is wrong? Now, I know this society is totally different, but it is wrong for a man and a woman to come together as if they're married. Lewdness is the word there. It's the idea of a husband and wife, but they're not husband and wife, and they're engaged in those things that husband and wives go through. And friends, that's not the case. We live in a time today where a man and a woman will come together and they say it's all right for us to live together. Friends, that's not right unless holy matrimony takes place. Some would say, well, what's the difference between a man and a woman living together and a husband and wife living together? What's the difference is God joins them together.
That's right.
That's the difference. It is a commitment. And it's just like when one is baptized into Christ. It is a commitment that I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to leave the world alone. I'm going to leave sin alone. And I'm going to consecrate myself wholly to God. There is a difference. So here we move on from there. And now we find something very interesting. Verse 4. After it had happened, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Let me say this. This is something when a man loves a woman. He almost loses his mind. young ladies, if you don't hear nothing I've said so far, hear this. Find you a man that loves you. Because if a man doesn't love you, he won't treat you right. Find you a man that loves the Lord. Find a man that can pray for you, that can nurture and develop you, Ephesians 5:23-25. That you can demonstrate great respect for, Ephesians 5. When a man doesn't love his wife, he doesn't give his all to her. His eyes are always wandering, Job 31. But when a man loves a woman, that's the only one he's looking at. Amen. Some great points in there. And a lot of times what we do, we settle. We settle for the first thing coming our way. Young ladies, don't do that. Number one, you're already under proper headship if your father's in your life. Number two, if your father's not in your life, then you're under the headship of Jesus Christ. So you got a good head. That's why when a man gives his daughter over to another man, he said, who gives this woman to be wed? I do. Why? Because I'm transferring headship. Young ladies, get you a man that loves you. You live your life in a way that you're high on the vine. Don't live in a way that you're so low that anyone can pluck you. It's a good lesson right there. I don't have time to preach that. Live your life with moral characters, that he that findeth a wife finds a good thing. He's looking. You put yourself in a position to be found, not you looking for a man yourself. But notice, he loved her. Her name was Delilah. I think verse 5 is key, though. And the Lord of the Philistines came upon her and said to her, entice him. Samson can't catch a break. Good night. He sees a woman. I want her. Dad, go get her. You don't even know her. I don't care. I want her. Now he finds someone he loves. Same thing happens. Entice him. This man can't catch a break. You know, in life sometimes, brothers, we just can't catch a break. Just can't catch a break. Samson, but this was the will of the Lord. This was the will of the Lord. Entice him. Wow. I'll tell you, every time I read this, I'm like, Samson, man, I'm hurting for you, brother. But anyway, we digress. We keep going. Verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, now think about this, friends. Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. Now think about this. She wants to know where his strength is, and she wants to know how to bring him down. Young ladies, don't do that. If you know of a true man of God, don't put yourself in a position to put him in a position to live an unholy life. Don't do that. If you can't help him to be the man of God that he needs to be, leave him alone. Vice versa. So the first time he tells her, okay, 7 fresh bowstrings, if you do this, and then I'll be just like any other man. That didn't work. Drop down to verse number 11. It's the same thing. Put new ropes on me. I'll become like another man. That didn't work. three times he did this, and we see this in verse number 15 and 16. But here's where it hurts. Verse 17. Brother Petrillo, this is where it hurts right here. She wore him out. I mean, she just wore him down three times. Just wore him down, wore him down, wore him down. He said, okay. And you know what the Bible says? He told her all of his heart. Turn to Proverbs 29. Look at verse number 11. I could quote it, but I want you to read it for yourself. Proverbs 29, verse number 11. There the Bible teaches us that a fool utters his whole heart. Young people, social media puts us in a position that we utter our whole heart. It's interesting that we'll utter our whole heart to our friends and those who don't even really love us, but won't utter our whole heart to the Lord. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Give him your heart. Proverbs 4:23, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Give God your heart. Put a fortress around your heart. Here we find Samson, and he just utters his whole heart to this woman. And you know what? You can tell the difference when a person utters their heart to you. One of the things that's scary to me, even to this day, is uttering my heart to someone that I really thought or thinks that cares. But truly, the one that cares for you, you ought to know who they are. Don't trust everyone with what's in your heart. Don't do that. Give your life to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. And if you're going to get married one day, make sure this is a person that you can utter your whole heart to. Because when you confess to them, when you give them the things that's in your heart, they ought to be able to take those things that are in your heart and help you to be the man or woman of God that you need to be. That's why confession is so important. First John 1, verse 9. Confessing is just so important. So he gives her all of his heart. And here where it just makes me cry sometimes. Verse number 19, she torments him. They torment him. I put in my notes, this is upsetting. That's personal. Because he gives her his heart. And he knew what was taking place the three times before that. And sometimes what we do is we give people our hearts, and time after time after time after time, they've done us a certain way that we know we can't trust them. And then we got our parents in the background that have our best interests at heart, and we won't give them our hearts. Solomon told his son, give me your heart. Young people, give your parents your heart. If anybody knows how to navigate you the right way, it ought to be godly parents. It ought to be godly parents. Look at verse number 20. The latter part, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Samson, the Philistines are out there. All right. He didn't even know the Lord was gone. Young people, do not put yourself in a position when you don't even know God is not with you. Therefore, we got to be studying God's word and have a good prayer life and meditating on the word and trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and mind.
Amen.
He didn't know the Lord left him. Notice some things. God left it in verse 20. He's living in darkness in verse 21. His eyes have been put out. He's taken captive. They bound him in verse number 21. He's made a servant, made to work, made to perform before them, verses 22 and following. He finally comes to his senses. In verse number 28, this is the fourth Spirit of the Lord mightily implied. hair's growing back. And made sport in front of the lords of the Philistines, about 3,000 men and women there. He finds this young lad. Come here, young man. I only got 2 minutes. Come on. Act like I'm blind and lead me to the pillars. Lead me to the pillars. All right, thank you. He said, Lord, give me strength one more time that I may die with the Philistines. The Lord, some say Samson committed suicide. Hebrews 11, verse 32 won't let you conclude that. Died in faith. Did what God wanted him to do. And sometimes, young people, sometimes it seems as if we have died to death, but when you're doing God's will, you die to life. I say that to say this. It's never too late to repent. It's never too late to confess. It's never too late to do the will of the Lord. It's never too late to do what is right. And I don't care what mistakes that you may make. Y'all listen to me. Y'all look this way, look this way. I don't care what mistake you make. You get it right. And you allow the Lord to heal you and bless you and work through you and be a blessing to those in the future. And God bless you.